stories about seeds. We have our sunflower here, and in a wee bit's time later in our service, we'll put some of our harvest offering envelopes into the sunflower. And sunflowers give off a great many seeds, and perhaps you've been growing sunflowers in your garden. There's a verse in the Old Testament, a couple of verses in the Old Testament, in a book called Deuteronomy, which is a book full of rules and laws and regulations, guidelines for living, really. And it says this to us. It says, "You shall count 7 weeks and begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain." That's when you start to cut the harvest. "Then you shall keep the festival of weeks to the Lord your God." So 7 weeks. You shall keep the festival of weeks to the Lord your God. "And then you'll contribute a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing that you have received from the Lord your God. Rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and your female slaves, the Levites resident in your towns, as well as the strangers, the orphans, and the widows who are among you." Harvest Thanksgiving has never been something that we do on our own. It's never been a celebration for individuals. It's always a time when people come together to say thank you to God for the harvest. And the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament shows the whole community, all sorts of different people coming together. Why? Coming to celebrate. It tells us that slaves took their place alongside the people who owned the land. It tells us that everyone was invited, and it was a real party because everyone had reason to say thank you to God for the harvest that they'd brought in. For when they brought in a good harvest and a good year, they knew that none of them would go hungry. And so they said thank you. Today, though, for many of us, harvest Thanksgiving services, well, they're looking to the past. They belong to the past, some people think. They belong to the past because they mark a definite point in the year, a definite point in the cycle of food preparation. Once food was grown and harvested and stored away for the rest of the year, and whatever you harvested and brought in, that's what you had to live on for the coming year. But there's not that same emphasis on gathering in the harvest, at least not for most of us. The farmers I know in the fields round about Dunfermline have been busy in recent weeks over in Creef and in Millport, where Elizabeth and I have just been on holiday. They were gathering in the harvest last week and the week before. But there's not very much nowadays about our food, or indeed our lifestyle, that is so dependent on the seasons. We used to call things seasonal vegetables. And yet these seasonal vegetables are available in the shops and supermarkets all year now. We used to have flowers that appeared only in certain seasons. And while they still appear mostly in certain seasons, it's still possible to get tulips and daffodils and all sorts of things at very strange times of the year if you're prepared to pay for them. No longer do we get up when the sun comes up and go to bed when it gets dark because we have electric lights. And even this morning, the church is lit by electric lights, because if we turned all the lights off, well, we wouldn't probably be able to see terribly well at all. No longer do we get up with the light or go to bed when it gets dark. And we can go out and we can work and we can play and we can go shopping and we can enjoy ourselves more or less anytime we want, all year round. And of course, some celebrations begin long before it seems appropriate. How many people, put your hands up if you've seen Christmas stuff in the shops already? Yeah, it's not Christmas time. And yet the shops are full of Christmas stuff. The seasons, instead of being distinct seasons, are all becoming just a muddy merge of different things all happening at once. It's like we've lost sight of beginnings and endings, all the natural things in life. We've lost sight of that. But harvest, well, harvest can still be a time of thanksgiving. It can still be a time for us when we mark a point in the year, recognizing that God gives us many good things throughout the whole of the year. But we mark a time in the year to say thank you to God for all the good things he gives us. The Bible says that strangers and widows and orphans should be cared for. And all of these people were included in the earliest harvest Thanksgiving celebrations. And these harvest Thanksgiving celebrations must have been an important sign to all these people who were normally excluded that in fact they were important and cherished members of the community. So harvest Thanksgiving, well, what is it for us today? It's a time for us to take stock. It's a time for us to give thanks. It's a time for us to recognize that we can't celebrate on our own. We can't celebrate in isolation from our neighbors around the world. Many of the different foodstuffs and the good things we see in the church around us, they don't come from Scotland. They have come from other countries. And other people have played their part in bringing them to our tables and to our Harvest Thanksgiving this year. As we celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving this year, we've got an opportunity, like the people we read of in the book of Deuteronomy, to make a free will offering. To make a free will offering through Christian Aid. An offering that will be used to make a tremendous difference to some of the world's poorest communities. And you have offering envelopes given to you as you came in, as well as some prayer cards. I want to think this morning about one of the places that will be helped through this offering. Christian Aid this year have entitled their harvest celebration, Seeds of Potential. And they're saying that a sack of rice seed costing just £5 helped this family get back on its feet after Sierra Leone had a civil war. Sierra Leone's a country in West Africa, and there was a terrible civil war there a couple of years ago. And indeed, Sierra Leone, according to all of the figures that are gathered by various powers around the world, Sierra Leone is officially the poorest country in the world. Imagine being the poorest country in the world. The people there are struggling after a terrible war to rebuild their homes and to grow food and re-establish their communities and their society. So Christian Aid, this year, their offering, the offering that we're invited to share in, will be going to help create seeds of potential in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone is a country that has come through a war, and a country where so many good things that were in the country have been destroyed. And just as they're trying to rebuild their country, they're also facing another threat. This time, it's because of how we buy and sell things in the world, how we trade. The country has become very, very dependent on loans from the international banks, from the World Bank, from the International Monetary Fund. But this money doesn't just get given freely, it comes with all sorts of conditions. Imagine if you were having a wobbly tooth and you put it under your pillow in the hope that you might wake up in the morning and there'd be some money there. But what you got was actually a note saying, well, in fact, to get the money, you have to pull all of your teeth out and give them under the pillow to get what you'd hope for, the one tooth. It's the same sense of injustice that the people of Sierra Leone have to contend with. For they've been forced to sign up to a policy of trade liberalization. That means they have to open up their markets, not just to their own goods that they grow themselves, where they can stimulate their economy, but to get money from the banks and from the International Monetary Fund, they have to open up their shops and their trading places to goods that are grown in other countries. And at the same time, the help they're able to give their own farmers is greatly reduced. This particularly harms small trade farmers, small-scale producers. On your envelopes and your prayer cards, and indeed on this poster, you'll see there are hands holding rice. And rice is one of the products that they grow in Sierra Leone. One of the farmers in that country said, although this is a rice-producing area, we get a lot of imported rice here. A lot of rice comes from other countries. And that affects the price that we're able to sell our rice for. To look at the effect of these kind of trade policies that Sierra Leone has to live with, we only need to look at two other countries in West Africa, looking at countries of Ghana and Senegal. For there are poor farmers who are being put out of business by a flood of cheap imports coming from other countries. Goods often grown with very generous subsidies, the kind of things we enjoy in this country and throughout Europe and throughout North America. One of the Christian Aid partners in Sierra Leone said, of the 140,000 tons of rice consumed in Sierra Leone each year, just 20,000 tons is grown locally. That means that 120,000 tons, six times what is grown locally, comes from other countries. How are the local farmers supposed to contend with that? You see, the people in Sierra Leone, they want to be able to trade themselves out of poverty. They want to be able to grow their food and sell it for a proper fee. But due to the unfair trade rules, there are thousands of farmers in Sierra Leone, thousands of families who even now face a desperate future. What countries like Sierra Leone need are to be able to support and protect their own farmers, to build up their local agriculture, and to help to feed their own people. And that helps to provide jobs and stability that the people returning to their towns and villages so desperately need. But the government, because of trade liberalisation, is not allowed to help its own people. Christian Aid, who our offering goes to this year, believe that rich countries and the international institutions they control need to stop forcing poorer countries to liberalise their trade and to open up their markets. Instead, they should allow them to use whatever economic tools they need to ensure that trade works to end poverty in these places, so people are able to earn a decent living and provide for their families. So in solidarity with the people of Sierra Leone, this harvest, not only are we invited to make an offering for Christian Aid's work in that place, but perhaps also each one of us will take time to find out about taking action through the Trade Justice Campaign. There are postcards that you have, and these invite you to send a postcard off to our Prime Minister, Tony Blair, urging him to take seriously the whole issue of trade justice. If we send these postcards off, each one of us, we add our voice to the global calls for trade justice. Not free trade with rules weighted to benefit the rich countries, but we ask for rules weighted to benefit those who are poor. That's what one of our songs we sang earlier is all about. It talks about the inequality, the fruits of justice, the signs of peace that people long and dream for. And it says, how long dare vain self-interest turn prayer and pity blind? No longer can we just look at our own situation and think the world is okay. We don't live in that kind of world any longer. The awful events of wars and terrorism that we see day by day on our television screens show us that we are part of a world that is one world, and we have to care for the whole of our world. On these envelopes and postcards and the posters, there are hands holding rice. And each grain of rice is a seed. And each seed of whatever kind of plant or thing it comes from has within it potential. Although sometimes we struggle to see the good that the seed holds. Each tiny and inert seed has within it the potential to become a plant that will provide an abundant harvest. And although Sierra Leone has been ravaged by war and all sorts of other problems, they have seeds. They can grow and produce a harvest to help themselves if only they are allowed to do so. And all of the children, all of the young people here, well, they have within them the potential, the seed of potential, to become responsible and loving adults. The trick for all of us is to see the potential that the seed holds, to see things as God sees things. Like Isaiah the prophet, to have a vision of things, not as they are, but things as they could be. Can you see the potential of things, even in dark times? Can you see the potential in a seed or a handful of rice? Can you see the potential in returning these signed postcards? In the seed parables, Jesus says, if we can see the potential within things as small as seeds, then we've begun to grasp the way that God's kingdom is supposed to be. Harvest Thanksgiving. Well, Harvest Thanksgiving is a time, yes, to give thanks. To give thanks for seeds. To give thanks for things that have reached their potential. We become accustomed to the process of seeds becoming plants and fruit, of grains becoming harvests, of babies becoming adults. And yet, when we reflect on it, we realize just what a miracle that is God has given to us. This is a time to celebrate the God of miracles, the God who brings about the gifts of life and growth and the fulfillment of potential. In the seed parables, we find this used as a model of how God's kingdom is meant to be, as it's proclaimed and responded to. Perhaps all we see now is like the tiny, inauspicious beginnings of seeds. The children last week were planting mustard seeds. Perhaps all we see now is a little mustard seed. Perhaps what's going on is going on in the dark and is unseen and hidden, and we're not quite sure what's going on as the seed is beginning to germinate in the ground. But one day, these seeds will grow. And one day, all of the small actions, all of the glimmers of hope that we share together will become a harvest beyond our imaginings. In the parable of the sower, well, it foresees, it looks to the future and sees yields 30, 60, 100 times what was started with. These yields were unheard of in biblical times. And so it is in Sierra Leone. Few would think that the gift of just £5 worth of rice seed could reap a rich harvest, and yet that's enough to feed and clothe a family, to help rebuild schools, to revitalize whole communities. So that's something for us to celebrate as we make our harvest offering. But of course, for seeds to reach their potential, they need the right conditions, don't they? We need to plant seeds in good soil, and we need to water them, and we need to pull out the weeds when the weeds grow. And in the parable of the sower, the seeds that weren't planted in the right conditions, the seeds that weren't nurtured and tended, these seeds withered and perished. And life, particularly in its early stages, is very, very fragile indeed. And while the life and the potential we celebrate at harvest, well, they're given by God, often we play a part in creating the conditions in which the true potential can be realized or not. Babies, well, they need love and nurture to grow. Plants need the right care and attention to bear fruit. Children need encouragement and education to become responsible adults. None of the things we do alone. But if we don't play our part, then there's a break in the important cycle of growth and harvest. Sierra Leone needs our help. And God gives to us the gift of being able to help. And our actions, making a free will offering, our actions supporting the trade justice campaign and saying things need to be better than they are, they may feel like planting tiny seeds with little expectation they'll bear fruit. But the prophet Isaiah in the Bible said the promise of God's kingdom is that there will be growth. And the experience of campaigns, just like Jubilee 2000 some years ago, is that when the right conditions are in place, the harvest of justice and peace will indeed come.